Looking at one of Jesus' parables today, but just a quick announcement here. We are still going to have the business meeting tonight. I talked with Pastor Jimmy, I talked with Pastor Bob, and been talking with Pastor TB before, but all of them said, let's go for it. And so we know we're two pastors short right now, but all of them said we're still going to go for it. People from Columbia City, from our church in Columbia City, will be here tonight. And so we are going to go for it. So if you want to be a part of that business meeting to see the financial side of our church and things like that, and reports from our ministries, be here tonight at 6 p.m. We're still going to go on with that. Cantata practice will be right after the business meeting. And so with that, and just one other thing here, Tuesday, for those of you who are with the Joy Group that's 50 years old and older, we're meeting here at the church at 11. Then shortly thereafter, we'll be heading up to Fort Wayne, and we'll be having lunch in Fort Wayne, and then we're going to tour the DeBrand's chocolate factory. And so, you know, if you like me, it's going to be a time of suffering. When you're a diabetic, all you can do is just stand there and drool. You can't touch or eat, you know, but we're going to have fun. The cost is $5 for the tour, then whatever you want to spend on food and whatever you want to spend on chocolate. But we'll be back here at the church around 4 p.m., and so you can make arrangements for that. But all you involved in Joy, that's this Tuesday at 11, then Tuesday night women's Bible study. So keep that in mind, too. That's at 7:30. So a lot of things are going on, so check out your bulletin, check out the big TV screen out there, because we have most of all of our announcements out there too. And so, you know, just so much going on here at New Life Fellowship as we continue to grow, as we continue to do ministry. It just keeps getting better and better all the time. But anyway, we just hit snags and bumps every once in a while, but we get past those and we move on and we continue to go on. So anyway, looking at Mark chapter 4, we have one of Jesus' interesting parables here. Jesus often taught in parables. A parable is simply a story that illustrates a spiritual truth or has a spiritual meaning behind it. And Jesus often used parables to teach spiritual truths, and this is one of them that he used. A lot of times Jesus taught in these parables because if your heart wasn't in tune with his or with God's heart, then sometimes the story didn't mean a whole lot to you. And we're going to talk about that today. Title of the sermon is, Do You Have Ears That Hear? And that's the question that Jesus asked at the end of this parable. He who has ears, let him hear. But Jesus taught, because a lot of times the spiritual meaning behind these parables or these stories were hidden from those who did not believe in Jesus. And so they sometimes got frustrated because they couldn't figure out what Jesus was talking about. But sometimes those people that had their hearts in tune with God's heart, they would listen to these parables, and that even holds true today, and they would say, yeah, I get it. I see what Jesus was trying to teach here. I see what Jesus was bringing about here. So we're going to talk about this parable today. It's probably one of Jesus' well-known parables. It's the parable of the sower. And we're going to start reading at verse 1. And then we're going to read down to verse 20 here. So bear with me as we read through this passage here. Starting at verse 1, he says, Again he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd beside the sea on the land, and he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching he said to them, Listen, "Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some of the seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorn grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And another seed fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, "To you it has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and they may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." And he said to him, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all parables? The sower sows the word. And these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. Then they hear. Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns, and they are the ones who hear the word, but in the cares of the world and in the deceitfulness of riches and the desires of other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit 30, 60-fold, and 100-fold. As we look at this parable, and this is an interesting parable because not only does Jesus tell it, but he explains it to his disciples too, and thus he explains it to us too after we read it. But the first thing I want you to get out of this is that we must sow the seed of the gospel that people might hear the word. Amen. That's right. We need to sow the seed of the gospel. You know, one of the things interesting I've learned about sowers back in those days, or farmers back in those days, they didn't have the machinery that our farmers have today, where they plant nice, neat rows, you know, and they use the big combines, you know, to do all that stuff, and the tractors, and they just plant the seeds, you know, right at the right distance apart. You know, everything is perfect and stuff. I mean, the combines today even has GPS, you know, in them, so farmers can see where they're at in their fields and stuff. And very interesting, you know, doing it. But back in those days, everything was manual labor. You know, they had to till, they had to dig up the soil, you know, whether by hand or by oxen or, you know, behind a plow. But they really didn't make nice rows. I mean, they just got the soil dug up, and then that was it. And they usually had a big bag of seed that they would wear over their shoulders, and they would walk around that field, and they would grab a handful of that seed, and they would just sling it out there. Wherever it fell, it fell. They knew some of it would fall on the pathways. They knew some of it would fall on rocks. They knew some of it, the birds would eat it up, but that's how they did it. And they would sow enough seed that hopefully that they had enough on the good soil that they could harvest a good crop of wheat or oats or rye or whatever they were sowing in that field. And Jesus tells this parable here, so, you know, and we're kind of like that. Sower. God gave us a job to do as individuals and as a church, to sow God's seed, the seed of the gospel. We have a lot of people out there that are lost. We have a lot of people out there that are in need of the gospel. There are a lot of people out there that are in need of God's hope, His love, and His forgiveness. Our job is to sow the seed. You know, it's God's job to save them. It's the Holy Spirit's job to bring conviction. Our job is to simply sow the seed. That was a hard lesson for me to learn, because when I first started out in ministry and going off to Bible college and stuff, I thought I was the one that had to convince everybody that they needed to get saved. I thought, you know, as soon as I present the gospel, they should be getting saved. Sometimes it doesn't work that way. And God had to teach me that my job was simply to sow the seed. It was His job to do the saving. It was the Holy Spirit's job to do the convicting. But our job is to simply to sow the seed. And like this farmer here, sometimes we sow that seed out there, sometimes it's going to fall on deaf ears. Sometimes it's going to fall on people with hard hearts. Sometimes it's going to fall on people that are very receptive to the gospel, and we're going to see them walk down the aisle, and we're going to see them get saved. But our job is to sow the seed. And so we find here in verses 1 through 9 that Jesus told a lot of parables. And then in verse number 11 and 12, He tells them why He talked in parables. You know, He says this, He says, "To you it has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables, so they may indeed see, but not perceive, and may indeed hear, but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." Second thing I want you to get out of this is that if we do not listen to the Word of God, we will not benefit from the gospel. If we don't listen to the Word of God, we're not going to reap the blessings and the benefits from the gospel. There are blessings and benefits when we are obedient to God and His Word. When we're not obedient to God's Word, we miss out on those benefits. We miss out on those blessings. We find ourselves sometimes in bad shape. You know, and sometimes Jesus told these parables, and like I said, sometimes they fell on deaf ears, sometimes they fell on people who had hard hearts, and it didn't benefit them because they didn't want to try to understand what Jesus was saying. They didn't want to try to understand the good news of Jesus, and so they turned away. Remember the rich young ruler that came to Jesus one day. And he said, "Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Keep the commandments." And the rich young ruler said, "Well, I do all these. I've been doing those things since I was, you know, a kid. I've kept all the commandments." See, he was basing his salvation or what he knew about God on what he knew or what he was in the process of doing. He is basing it on works. But Jesus then got to the heart of the matter. He said, "Go and sell everything you have and give it to the poor and come follow me." And the Bible says he went away sorrowful because he didn't want to obey what Jesus told him to do. He didn't want to give up what he had in order to follow Jesus. Some people are like that. Some people don't want to give up what they have to follow Jesus when Jesus could give them so much more. I've talked to so many people and I've witnessed to so many people before that would tell me, "I would like to come to Christ, but I don't want to give up. I don't want to give up this. I don't want to give up that. I don't want to give up my lifestyle. I don't want to give up, you know, a girlfriend, a boyfriend. I don't want to give up my job. I don't want to give up this. I don't want to give up that." And, you know, and they're just like that rich young ruler. Jesus can offer so much more, but yet they don't want to give it up. Jesus can offer so much more in blessings and benefits, but they don't want to give it up. You know, and if we do not listen to the Word of God, we will not benefit or receive blessings from the gospel. We need to be obedient to what God wants us to do. And the third thing here is that the fruitfulness of the seed of the gospel depends on the receptivity of the hearer. We get into verses 13 and through 20 here. Jesus tells this parable. He explains the parable. You know, he tells the parable there in chapter 3, verses 3 through 9, about the sower that's going out. He's sowing his seed, and he talks about how some of the seed falls among the pathway and the birds come eat it up. Says some of it falls on rocky soil. You know, it bears roots. It springs up, but it's nothing there to hold the roots together. When the sun comes up, it withers and dry. And he talks about some of it falling among the thorns and getting choked out because of the thorns. Then he says that some of it falls on fertile ground, and it takes root, and it grows, and it gives 30, 60, 100 fold. And he says, you know, that's where God wants us to be. But I want us to look at these four different types of soils real quick. He said the first type of soil is some that, you know, he throws the seed, it goes along the pathway, the birds come along and eat it up. And he explains it here that these are the ones along the path where the word is sown, and when they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes the way the word that is sown in them. Some of the soil of some hearts is hard. It falls on those pathways. And what happens, sometimes, you know, I've witnessed to people before, and sometimes I'm sitting there listening, you know, trying to explain the gospel to them and talking to them, and I know their mind is off somewhere else. I know Satan is there working in their hearts and in their minds trying to distract them. And there have been times when I've tried to witness to people and there are distractions all around me. And you just cannot get in there to explain the gospel to where they listen because they're so distracted. I've had people and, you know, constantly checking their cell phone because I don't know whether they just had it timed right or whatever. But you know, I was witnessing to one guy, and for about 15 minutes I was sitting there trying to witness to him, and his cell phone kept going off. I mean, about every 5 minutes, you know, 3-4 times in that 15-minute period, his cell phone rang. And he said, hold on a minute, I got to take this call. You know, it was just like, you know, you just want to punch the devil in the nose or whatever. You know, you get so frustrated sometimes. But sometimes we sow the seed, and sometimes Satan will do whatever he can to get that seed out of that person's life or to do away with that seed. You know, and sometimes no matter what you do, it just isn't going to work, it seems like. Second one is the soil of some hearts is shallow. It's talking about the sower sowing the seeds through some rocks. You know, and they'll spring up. You know, it gets a little bit of water from the rain, the seed will germinate and it'll spring up. But when the sun comes out and there's nothing for the roots to hold on to absorb moisture, it just withers away. And sometimes people are like that too. They come to Christ and maybe even possibly get saved. But yet, because they do not get involved in church, they do not get involved in reading God's word, they do not get involved in prayer, they do not get involved in spiritual matters, that they cannot put down deep roots into the gospel and into God. And as a result, when trials and tribulations come along their way, they say, I'm out of here. And they go back to their old ways. I know lots of people that have come into church, been active in the church, and now they're doing nothing with the church. And it isn't really part fault of the church, it's just that they never got themselves dug in spiritually. They never let their roots grasp onto anything. And as a result, the first sign of trouble came, the first thing, they're out of here. Don't want to have anything more to do with God or the church. I remember one time one of the churches that I belonged to, I was a member of, and this is when my daughters were young. And I remember one Sunday night, we had a young lady come to our church, and every time the only time she would come to church was when she was in trouble. Whether it was financial difficulty or job difficulty or something, the only time she would come to church was when she was in trouble with something. And when we had asked for prayer requests, she would raise her hand up and say, "Pray for me, I need help." And she'd tell us about her problem. And then we'd pray for her. But I remember one time, I was taking Bethany home after church. And we were going home, we were sitting in the car driving home. And Bethany looked over to me and says, "How come that lady, only time she ever comes to church is when she's in trouble?" I said, "I don't know." I said, "Some people are like that." I said, "Some people try anything and everything. And then they come to God and the church as the last resort." And Bethany looked at me, she said, "Well, God should be the first person they go to, not the last." And that's so true. So many people today try to put their roots down in anything and everything else the world has to offer to find out it just withers them away because there's nothing lasting about it. If you want to grow, you want to do something for God, you want to have life more abundant, then put your roots down in a church. Put your roots down in the gospel. Put your roots down in prayer. And let God work in your life. And that's what Jesus was trying to get across here. But not only that, third one, some hearts are distracted. Verses 18 and 19, he talks about how some get thrown among the thorns, and because of the thorns, the wheat or the whatever they've sown there gets choked out because the thorns won't let them grow properly. The thorns take all the nutrients from them. The thorns wrap themselves around them and choke them out. Sometimes our lives today, there are people today, and sometimes even in Christian realm and in the church, we let so many things of the cares of this world get upon us that it chokes us out spiritually. We let our desires get out of control. We let this get out. We let this come into our lives. And it ends up pushing God out. And next thing you know, we are wrapped up in thorns. We don't know what to do about it. We can't get out of it. See, a lot of times we need to realize that when we are letting our desires, our natural desires, come into our lives, whether it's power, whether it's money, whether it's job situation, whether it's bigger house, maybe a boat, a bigger, fancier car, whatever it may be. Sometimes we let those things get so wrapped up in our lives that it chokes God out of our lives. And we need to realize that when we see that happening, we just need to repent and tell God, "Wait a minute. Something's not going on here." You know, growing up in South Louisiana, I used to go hunting, fishing a lot down there. And a lot of times you get back in those swamps and stuff, and sometimes you had to be careful because you'd end up in a thorn patch without you even knowing it, and you can't even get out of it. And they have one particular vine that grows down there. It's called a sawtooth vine. And I mean, those things got thorns on them about that long, and they are sharp. And if you ever saw one, you know why they call it a sawtooth vine. But you have one of those things rake across you, I mean, it shredded anything that came into its path, clothes, skin, whatever, you know. And those things, they would hang, and if you wasn't careful, before you knew it, you'd run into one of those things, and those things would just wrap itself right around you. And I mean, you just tenderly just try to get yourself out of those things before they rip you to shreds. Sometimes life is like that too, is that sometimes when we are not careful, we let the things of this world, our worries, our frustrations, whatever it is, come into our lives, and it'll just eat us away, and it'll choke the Word of God out of our life. And we need to be careful of that. And lastly, the soil of some hearts is fruitful. Sown the seed that the sower seeds, it falls on fertile ground. And those hearts that receive it, Jesus says, will grow 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. And those will grow and produce more fruit. Some people that you talk to and you sow the seed to, some people will be receptive. They will listen. And you see a life changed. And you see a life that'll bear more fruit. And you notice what Jesus says here. He says, some 30, some 60, some 100. God has a special task for each and every one of us. Every person that comes to the gospel, God has a special task for them. We're not all called to do the same thing. And also, either one of us, just like growing up from a child into adulthood, some of us grow faster than other people. Some of us learn faster than other people. Same way with spirituality, too. When we grow spiritually, some people don't grow as fast as other people. Some people don't catch on to things as quick as some other people, but we all grow. That's why some produce 30-fold, some produce 60-fold, some produce 100-fold. Because God always calls us to do what He wants us to do. Sometimes we just need to be faithful in just little things that God calls us to do. Sometimes God gives us bigger things to do. Some people have big things to do, like Pastor Jimmy. You know, he's got a big responsibility. TB doesn't have that big of a responsibility that Jimmy has, but he's got a big responsibility too. My responsibility is try to keep both of them out of trouble. So far, I've done a bad job of it this week, trying to do that. But we all need to keep sowing the seed, no matter how big or how small it is. We just need to keep sowing the seed. And yes, people may reject us. People may slam doors in our face. People may cuss us out. People may do anything and everything. But yet, one day the seed's going to fall on the right person. And they're going to come to Christ. And who knows, that person may change the world and set the world on fire for Christ. Because you are faithful and keep sowing the seed and not get discouraged and not give up. End with this story. When I was in Louisiana, the church that I went to down there, Calvary Heights Baptist Church, Dr. Richard White was a pastor there. But we had a family move from West Virginia there to Baton Rouge, and the wife and the kids came and joined the church. The man didn't. His name was Butch. Lemon was his name. And his wife and two kids, I mean, you know, they were faithful members. They would always come, but Butch did not want anything to do with church or anything to do with Christianity or religion or God or anything else. And the pastor would go by and visit him every once in a while because his wife, every time we had a Wednesday night Bible study and we asked for prayer requests, she would raise her hands and she said, "Please pray for Butch. Please pray for Butch." And this went on for about a year. And you know, and the pastor, I said the pastor would go by, and one day Butch met the pastor at his front gate, and he stuck his finger in the pastor's nose, Dr. White said, and he told him, he said, "Pastor, don't you ever step foot in this yard again. If you do," he told him, this is the way Dr. White put it, he said, "I'm going to whoop a certain part of your anatomy." And Dr. White said, "Okay, I won't come bother you anymore. I won't talk to you anymore. But," he said, "you know, if you still let your wife and kids come to church, I'll be happy with that." So his wife's name was Linda. And she would keep coming to church, and she would bring the kids. But we'd always kept praying for Butch. We was always out there sowing that seed through prayer. And then one day the kids, the youth were having some kind of special function there at the church, a special service for them. And I remember it getting started. And this was like a year, maybe 15 months after they came and joined the church, the wife and the kids. But as the kids were up there and they were singing, they were doing their things, lo and behold, Butch came in the back door, sat on the back pew. And after the kids got done doing their thing and giving testimonies and everything else, Butch came forward, accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. And Butch became a completely changed man. He quit being that harsh, bitter man that he was, and he was so loving, so kind after that. He became a deacon in the church after that. And Butch and I became great friends, as he became great friends with other men in that church. And he just completely changed. Why? Because his wife kept sowing the seed. His kids kept sowing the seed. Our church people kept sowing the seeds, hoping one day it'll fall on fertile soil. So my answer for you today is, keep throwing that seed out there. No matter who you're talking to, whether it's somebody, another friend at school, a fellow, a coworker, a neighbor, somebody, maybe you've gotten discouraged because they won't listen to you. Keep throwing the seed out there. Keep throwing the seed out there. That's why we keep doing ministries around here. That's why Bob keeps his meal ministry going, because he's throwing the seed out there. He's not just throwing food out there for people to eat. He's throwing the seed out there, hoping one day it'll make an impact on somebody's life. That's why we have the Women's Life House. That's why Carla works there and Jen works there. That's why we're fixing to start up, hopefully this fall, the Women's with Children shelter. It isn't just for a place for them to go, but it's a place where we're throwing the seed out and hoping it'll fall on fertile soil and it'll change the life of some of those ladies. You know, we saw Lila get baptized last weekend. You know, that's what it's all about. It's throwing that seed out there. We saw Corbin get baptized last Sunday too. You know, that's why Phil and Phil, sounds like a lawyer's association, but that's why Phil is doing what he's doing down there with the kids. It isn't just to keep them out of here so we can have somewhat of a peaceful service. It's because Phil gets down on their level and brings God and Jesus down on their level. He's throwing a seed out there. I mean, Phil was so excited when Corbin accepted Christ as his Savior. I mean, I could just see it on his face every time I talked to him about it. You know, but that's what it's all about. Just throwing that seed out there. And keep at it. Don't give up. Don't give up. You know, one day it's going to land on fertile soil. And it's going to change your life. tell you one more story just popped in my head, and I'll close with this one. I know I'm a typical Baptist preacher. I say I'm going to shut up four or five times before I actually do. But one day, a little 12-year-old boy visited a church. And the Sunday school teacher that that 12-year-old boy was in decided he was going to find out where he lived at. So he started questioning people, and he found out that he worked at a shoe store there in downtown Chicago. He found out what shoe store he worked with, and he walked in there, and he asked the owner of the store, he said, I'm looking for so-and-so. He says, can you tell me if he's here today or not? He said, yeah, he's in the back room stocking up for me. And he asked, he said, can I talk to him for a moment? And he went back there and he talked to that young 12-year-old boy. And he ended up leading him to Christ. And that 12-year, that Sunday school teacher, we don't know what his name is, but that Sunday school teacher did not know the impact that that 12-year-old boy would make. We know that 12-year-old boy today as Dwight L. Moody, a guy that shook two continents for Christ. See, you never know. See, when we give up and quit throwing the seed out there, what opportunities can we miss that could really change Huntington, that could really change this country? What if that Sunday school teacher would have said, 12-year-old kid, I'm not going to bother with him. What would have happened to Dr. Moody? You know, we never know. Some of the seed that we sow will go on fertile grounds, and who knows, they could shake two continents for Christ like D.O. Moody could. But we just got to keep throwing that seed out there. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, we think of sowing the seed and what we need to do to sow that seed. And we just pray, dear Father, that you'd give us the encouragement that we need to keep sowing that seed, no matter if it falls on deaf ears sometimes, no matter if we have to fight Satan sometimes, no matter if we, you know, just sometimes we want to give up. But sometimes we just need to keep throwing the seed out there because we know you have hearts prepared to receive that seed. And we know that it can change lives. And we just pray, dear Father, so somebody here today that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior of their life, that seed is being sown in their hearts right now through your Holy Spirit. And I just pray, dear Father, that those seeds will grow and they'll come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. And I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that somebody here that may be discouraged, maybe have given up on sowing seed or witnessing to people, may that you renew that spirit within them, dear Father. Give them the encouragement that they need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.